Blog Talk Radio.
Coach Terrence Wood in the BYGP locker room show. Sorry it took us a minute to get started here, but hopefully we have a live audience ready to go. The gentleman that is coming on the show tonight is a dear friend of mine, somebody that I've had a chance to meet a couple years ago and just really took to this gentleman because of not only his football career and his football success, but also who he is as a man, as a father, a husband, and just somebody who really wants to give back to young, aspiring football players and tell his story and his advice. So we have none other than Mr. Khalif Barnes, 11-year NFL vet, on the show tonight. And I think we already have Khalif on the line. Hey, Khalif, can you hear me?
Coach T, man, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm blessed. I'm running around. Sorry it took us a little while to get to you, but we appreciate the time.
Oh, no. It's all right, man. No worry about it, man. Anything for my brother. It's all good.
Perfect, man. So, hey, I know you're dealing with the family and it's the off season, so I don't want to take up too much of your time tonight. But as I said, we definitely appreciate it. You've been in the locker room before, so you know what this is about. These are young men. These are parents that are listening, looking for keys, looking for answers to get to the level that you're at, and maybe even a lower level than you're at, but they need advice. So let's get right into it, Khalif. For those that don't know you, where are you originally from?
Originally from San Diego, California. Yeah, born and raised in San Diego.
San Diego, California. And
yes.
when did you start to realize that football might be an avenue for success for you?
Actually, to tell you the truth, I played basketball when I was younger, you know, as far back as I can remember, and played football like here and there, you know, in the yard or in the street, at the park with some friends, you know, stuff of that nature, but never really organized any organized football until high school, actually. So it was my sophomore year, actually, is when I started. And I realized it could probably be a venture for me when, you know, me coming on as a sophomore or freshman at the time, you know, and I was being able to compete with the, you know, the so-called stars or the juniors and the seniors or the team that were the stars already. And, you know, 3 and 4 year lettermans. And when I was able to compete and go heads up with them and hold my own ground, then I figured that, you know, I might give this thing another go at it and keep on going and see, you know, where it might take me.
When did it dawn that you were going to be a Division I level recruit? Because obviously there's multiple levels of college football, and D1 is the highest. When did you start to get the writing on the wall that you were a D1 level kid?
I would say by the time maybe around my junior, like halfway through my junior started to come around, I started noticing I would get, like, you know, in high school you have, like, you know, your little, someone tell you know, you go get your mail, or, you know, someone tell you that you got, you know, mail up at the office or whatever. So I would start going by each day, and I would start getting, you know, 3 or 4 colleges to, you know, send me little recruit letters each week or have you not. And there'll be a lot of them, most of them would be like D1s, but there'll be some D2s in there too, like good D2 schools too. I started getting a mixture of those kind of, and then toward like the end of, towards the end of the junior year and the beginning of the senior year, then I started just getting just lockerfuls of just D1 colleges that are asking for, or, you know, sending letters and all these kind of things of that nature. So, you know, from by the time my junior, middle of the junior year hit, I was getting those letters from colleges, I started to realize then that, you know, this might be a real deal, that I would be possibly, you know, could become a D1 athlete.
Great feedback right there, Khalif. And as you know, the recruiting game has been heightened, and there's a lot more exposure on these young men right now, and there's just more money involved. Did you have anybody kind of guiding you through the recruiting process? Is that something that you recommend for young players?
You know, I would recommend if the young men, if they have that tool, they have that resource available to them, either by at home having it or having the tools to reach out and grab that resource, I recommend them to do so, because what I mean by that is I was the first, you know, possible D1 athlete to go in my family. Yeah, there were people more talented. You know, my father's very talented, you know, other people of that nature, but they didn't really take it to the step as being a D1 athlete type level. So I just basically went through with my parents. Me and my parents went through, and we kind of guided through to see, you know, when we started inviting these coaches and scouts to the house, we would sit down and we would get to know them and talk, and then we'd be able to, you know them on that level, and we kind of did our guidance that way. But if somebody that's, you know, if some of these kids have, you know, either older brothers or older cousins or dads or, you know, somebody of that nature that's been to that level, I mean, it doesn't have to be NFL, but just, you know, D2, doesn't matter, D3 even, because it doesn't matter what division, they know the process, because any division you're talking about is still a step up from high school. So you still, if you have that tool available to get experience beforehand, before you step on campus, I mean, it's a lot better to have the answers to the test, you know, than to just going in blind. So if they have that available, I would definitely recommend them doing that.
Fabulous advice, Khalif. Talk to us and maybe be a little candid with us as far as your college options without football. Do you think you would have even attended college? Did your parents maybe have the funds to send you to a school like Washington if you're playing football?
Would I have attended? Absolutely. I would have attended, because keep in mind, when I first started this thing in high school, I didn't do it to say after my first practice or after my first game or whatever. I didn't do it and say, you know what, yeah, I'm about to go straight to the NFL. That's how good I feel I am. Or I'm about to get a scholarship in 3 years. I wasn't even thinking that way. I was thinking, like, okay, I've always been an active kid and I always wanted to do something after school and just keep myself busy on top of just the schoolwork. So I've already did basketball and I was already doing that at the time. So I was a dual athlete. And, you know, people, you know, guidance counselors and teachers were telling me, you know, that would look good on your resume, you know, your college resume, to have, you know, along with good grades. And, you know, the more things that you have on there, you know, your resume, the better it looks for colleges. So, you know,
yeah,
2 year, you know, letterman's and 2 year experience, that's fine. 3 year experience, that's fine. But as long as you have the other stuff as well, maybe you're in ASB or maybe you're in the student council here, and then you led this kind of program, this program after school, whatever kind of club it was, you guys had some kind of club that you guys had after school. So those colleges are looking for, the bigger your resume is, man, the more things that you have, the more accolades, big or small, doesn't matter, the more you fill that thing up, the better it was. So that's kind of what my mindset was. My mindset was, I got to have my grades be good enough to at least get a partial scholarship, because, you know, I mean, I was okay. We were okay growing up, but we definitely would have had some debt, you know, going into paying for college with me and another brother and sister. But, you know, but yeah, I was going to go and I was going to make it somehow.
I love it. And you guys should go, if anything, just for the networking, even if for some reason you do decide to hang up your cleats. Talk to us a little bit. Once you decided to go to the University of Washington, Pac-12 school, beat my Buffs this year in the Pac-12 championship. So
It's all right, man. You guys had a decent season. You guys can't hang. Don't hang your head too low. You guys had a decent season.
Yeah,
that we were better, man. We were better. We had Buffalo that night. It was scrumptious.
I hear you. I mean, once you got on the campus, Khalif, at UW, obviously you're coming from California. This is a new state, multi-million-dollar campus. I did a little research, and I looked at the stats for African-Americans on the University of Washington campus. And it was only 2.5% in 2015. So I know that you probably feel that once you walk into the athletic department. Did it dawn on you what a valuable opportunity the full scholarship offer was when you were at that age?
Yeah, it did. And, you know, it's funny that you said it because actually me and a couple of roommates of mine at the time, we would actually say that to ourselves too when we looked around and we said, you know, predominantly most of the, you know, African-Americans, whether it be male or female, are either on, you know, the basketball team. The majority were on, you know, the football team that we had. You know, you had a few here and there. They're on, you know, that made up the track team. And then you had a few other scattered around that made up, you know, some other, you know, parts of the sports game too. So it was very few that were just, you know, just regular academic students. And I would say that, it, you know, just let alone just for African-Americans, it was, you know, it was tough too, but it was just tough for people in general to get into that school. And most of the people who didn't get into that school, they went across the way to Eastern Washington, to Washington State. It's not a knock on Washington State. It's just that, you know, the requirements for Washington would have in certain departments were might be, you know, a little bit higher than it would be to Washington State or vice versa. So, you know, but just looking at that and saying like, wow, we were mostly, you know, all the African-Americans are both basically in the sports team. It was a little staggering, but it was also a good thing, accomplishment for us, because you couldn't just have, you know, a 1.9 GPA or a 2.0 and get into Washington anyway on a scholarship. So you had to be doing something well academically as well, just to, you know, just to get on the campus and not just sports wise. So it was tough to get into the school. It was a expensive school, especially for out of state kids. You know, so all those things factor in to that too. So yeah, we were very, you know, we took that in and we looked at it and we didn't take it lightly. We took it as an accomplishment and we did recognize that.
Smart. Obviously, there's a heavy commitment on the field at a school, the level of the University of Washington, and then there's the academic commitment, too. Is it up to the athlete, Khalif, or is it up to the athletic department to make sure that athletes' time management is productive?
I believe it's up to both, but more so on the side of when the kid first comes in, it's going to be mostly on the administration or whoever is in charge of that department of getting these kids' social skills life, you know, up to par. Because, Grant, you know, you're going to have kids from all walks of life. You're going to have kids who are already used to a type of structure where they might have both parents at home and they're used to, you know, a certain type of a structure that they have, you know, their life is like scheduled out and they've been working on time management already. But then you have some kids who, you know, parents, maybe single parents or, you know, they're at work all day and then the kid's mostly by himself a lot of times. So they haven't experienced a whole lot of time management maybe. So I believe that it's, you know, the university's job to, when these kids come in, to get them prepared and to, you know, require is mandatory for at least all freshmen. And as you get older, sophomores and juniors, it falls more on the kid because at that time you're getting older. And you should know, you've been trained of how to manage your time. So now, as you're getting older and you're getting to those sophomore, senior, you know, junior years, you know, you don't need to be babysitting no more because you've already got that training when you're a freshman from the university. You know, so I believe it's more so on the university to make sure that the kids get that proper training and go through it. And then as they move up in rank, it moves on to the student to be able to handle their time as a, you know, student athlete.
Well said right there. And hopefully you young athletes are listening. If we have any college coaches, junior college or anything listening, that was some great advice right there. For those that are just joining us, we are in the BYGP Locker Room Show. I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood. We are blessed with the opportunity to speak to Mr. Khalif Barnes, 11-year NFL vet, former University of Washington Husky, and just great man to get some advice and tips from. Talk to us a little bit, Khalif, about when you fully started to realize that you might be able to play pro football. Was it a particular play? Was it an all-league nomination? What was it when you were playing at Washington that told you, hey, I might be able to play in the NFL?
I think the biggest thing for me, at least, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but just personally, the biggest thing for me was every year that I would return and keep on playing, meaning from freshman year, and then after that season, you know, obviously we had, you know, guys that were juniors and seniors, and at this point, you play with these guys for a whole year, and all of a sudden, when April comes around, you know, the NFL draft comes up, and then when you see a guy that you've played with, and, you know, either been possibly hazed by because he's a senior and you're, you know, a rookie coming in, once you spend that whole time together and the whole season together and went through everything together, and then that following season comes around, you see that guy get drafted in whatever round, first round, second round, third round, and then, you know, they get drafted, and it's, especially they get drafted to a team that they would, that they play college at, that they're still, you know, that they're at, and you can see them still. That makes you think, like, hey, he was here. I was here with him. I did the same thing he did in workouts. I beat him on this in these sprints, and, you know, I think he might have been just a little bit better than me because of age, but I'm right there neck and neck with him, and if I get two more years, I just might be able to be, you know, just as good as this guy or maybe even a notch better and maybe get drafted a couple spots higher. That was a possibility because I was like, I've seen it. So once I've seen it and I've seen what it takes to get there, then I'm like, oh, I know I have it. If that's what it takes to get there, then I know I got it because I have more to grow. So that got me excited, you know. And then after that, it was just like, you know, a ripple effect. And then comes, as you mentioned, you know, the certain plays. And then you play against a certain player, like the Justin Tucks. I remember playing against Justin Tuck when he was at Notre Dame and I was at University of Washington. And I was assigned to follow Justin Tuck everywhere he went on the field. And so wow. You start remembering key matchups and things of that nature. And then another quick story is when I finally met Justin Tuck after he got drafted to the Giants and I got drafted to the Jaguars, it was when he came to Oakland to play with me. We shared a funny story about the combine. I know the combine is coming up. So, and in the combine, you know, certain teams ask you a certain number of questions. And one of the questions were, for that year, who's the best defensive player you went up against this year? And I was like, Justin Tuck from Notre Dame. And apparently he got asked the same question. And they asked him who's the best offensive lineman. He said me. So we still had this camaraderie thing going on. So it was cool to know that happened. And that's the players that you recognize you go against. And then he got drafted and I got drafted. So that's what it was for me.
Great, great point right there. And one thing that we stress to our athletes, as you know, and it's huge right now, is the off-the-field lifestyle. You know, these kids put in so much work as yourself to get to that pinnacle. And then a lot of them are just shooting themselves in the foot with a tweet or, you know, a misuse of their girlfriend or something like that. Do you think that college coaches and pro coaches know what goes on in guys' lifestyles off the field?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's their job to know. So, yeah, they know. If you think they don't know, then you're the ones that's a fool. I mean, and you got to understand the college and NFL levels, they're, you know, college level, it's a business. It's a very expensive, lucrative business. And they're like a CEO of a company. If you're the CEO of a company, if you're going to buy something or invest something, if you're going to invest $600,000 or AKA a scholarship, if you're going to invest that type of money into somebody, a product or a person, then you're going to know everything about that before you buy it. You're going to check the background of it. You're going to know what's going on with it between now and by the time you want to buy it or give out that scholarship. If it's 6 months, 8 months, you're going to spend all the time and resources that you have as your CEO to find out what it is that I'm buying. So in translation, if you're trying to get, you know, if you're trying to get a scholarship to somewhere, to a major D1 school, that scholarship can cost you, I mean, is the value of hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're going to put their background work in there, and they're going to know what you're doing at the time.
Great advice right there. We are in the BYGP locker room with Mr. Khalif Barnes. We've got roughly about 8 minutes here. Great advice for you young athletes. I hope you guys are really sucking it in. Once you finally got to the NFL, Khalif, I know you're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Were there any veterans that helped teach you what it was to be a professional athlete?
Yeah, I had a couple. One was a running back that we had named Fred Taylor. He was a really good running back, a great running back, actually, for Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
For about 11 years. Yeah, yeah. And it was him and another guy named Marcus Stroud, you know, Byron Leftwich was the quarterback at the time, David Garrard, and, you know, guys like that, those kind of guys, they kind of sat me down and took me under their wing and trying to, you know, groom me into what it's like to be a professional and what it's like to play in the league. So those are the guys that stick out in my mind from Jacksonville.
As far as inner circle, we also talk about inner circle as you climb the ladder of football success. Obviously, more
right.
people want a piece of you, and you've been there and dealt with that. Is it important for players to consciously develop their inner circle? And if so, what age do you think it should start at?
I think it should start immediately. I think it should start right now because the quicker you start on it, the easier you'll develop that habit, the easier it'll start taking place. The easier you put your plan to action, it'll start working. So basically what you want to do is, and I'm not saying I was perfect because I had a few of those. Most of my life I have good people around me, but sometimes you meet a couple bad apples where you have to turn away. But what I would say to them is I would start now, and I would say surround yourself with the people who have the same ambitions and hopes and dreams and goals as yourself. You know, you can't surround yourself with nobody that doesn't. You can't, it'll be like, you know, you're going the opposite way. If you surround yourself around a bunch of people who have the same mindset and the same goals, like if I surround myself with five other dudes who want to be D1, D2, football players and eventually play in national championships and get degrees and then work at good law firms and be in fraternities, you know what I mean? You do too, and you know, it gets contagious, and just like six of you that want to do that, it's much easier to reach that than you won't have anybody letting each other down in your circle or letting anybody do anything stupid to pull you back from that. And strength are great in numbers. So if you don't have people who are doing the same thing that you want to do, you're pulling in different directions, and ultimately you just go nowhere.
Perfect. Perfect right there for you guys to hear. And we have a couple more questions here for Khalif, and this is great content for you guys. I hope you really appreciate this. As far as, you know, you're in the NFL, and I know the game has given you a lot, given your family a lot, but I also know being a former player that the game takes a lot from you too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still mm-hmm. think that this is a great outlet for young men, football?
I do. I think it's like martial arts. I think because I took that when I was younger, and I think those are great forms of discipline, and it gives you, you know, it gives you structure in your life, and you need structure. It's not you got to have structure and balance in your life for you to function, man. You got to have it. So football, I think, teaches that. It teaches discipline. You know, it teaches you to be, on time. It teaches you to be punctual, you know, it teaches you to be focused, it teaches you to have a plan and to attack that plan, it teaches you to have goals, set all things to reach those goals and then sell, you know, and actually do them. And then it teaches you to do it in teamwork. You need that in life though too. So it has a lot of correlation in what you need in life. So that's why I think it's, although it's dangerous, yes, it is a dangerous contact sport, it can teach you some good values. And that's why, you know, I do, That's my take on that.
If I know you have four little ones and you've been blessed
yeah.
to split it right down the middle, two boys, two girls. Boys come up to you and say, Dad, I want to play football, what advice would you give them?
I would tell them, okay, if that's if that's what he wanted to do, if that's what he wanted to follow and pursue, and if he had a love for it, then I would tell him to go ahead and go for it. But I would say, not right now. I'd have to wait till he develops a little more, to be honest with you. I mean, right now I'm about to start them off maybe in like some, he plays basketball right now, but the girls, I'm going to get them all to some soccer, something like that, maybe some T-ball, something like that. But right now, I won't throw any pads or have him hitting with the helmet, not until his body's a little more developed. So if he wanted to go in and maybe he was like a freshman in high school, or like I tell him what I did. I came in as a senior, a sophomore, and I'll tell him I did okay. So maybe if he wanted to come in as a sophomore, freshman I'll let him, but sophomore, that'll be ideal to me. He's a little bigger. He's a little more, you know, he's a little more developed in his body, in his organs, and his spine. Then I'll probably let him do that.
You've had a chance to play with some amazing players, some future Hall of Famers, and we have a couple quarterbacks in our program, and you've had an opportunity to be in the huddle with guys like Derek Carr and guys like Drew Brees. What separates a great quarterback just from an average quarterback, Khalid?
So I already told Derek this.
Intangible-wise, I know you got to have a great arm, but intangible-wise.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean. So, yeah, I told Derek this a couple of years ago when he first got drafted after I seen him going through what he was doing. And then I seen Drew, too. And they both have an amazing work ethic. I'm just being serious. I'm not even talking about just a work ethic where they go into the weight room and, you know, they lift. And they're lifting like with linebackers and they're competitive. And these two guys, you know, they're running sprints and they're beating DBs and they're coming back down. They're not winded. They're the two most guys in shape on their team, and they're quarterbacks, and they do the same thing. That's all fine and dandy, but it's the classroom work, man. It's what they do inside the – it's what you guys don't see. It's what you see everything on Sunday, but it's what you don't see from on Monday night or Tuesday night or Wednesday night. When Tuesday's the day off in the NFL from everybody, those guys are in there working. I came in one time at 5 in the morning, left work, got back home about 2:30 in the afternoon, left something at the hotel, and this is in New Orleans. I went back at 7:30 p.m. Drew Brees was in there still, eating dinner, watching the film. I was there for 2 hours. I left at 9:30. He was still there. And then he's coming back again at 4:35 in the morning, and he knows everything on the field. That's how Derek is getting there. Derek can be in my way. So that's the thing for them. They're not just an arm like a throw for. It's just what they do. They've already won the game on Saturday night, and they just go out there and makes it look fun on Sunday. It makes it look easy. But they've already won during the week.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that with us. And last question of the night, and once again, man, thanks so much for your time tonight. But the last question that I wanted to ask you, because – you know, football is a game of respect. You know, it's about brotherhood. It's about respect. Like you said, discipline, camaraderie. When you hang up those cleats, I know you played 11 years. You probably got a couple more in you. But when you hang up those cleats for the last time, Khalid, how would you want your former teammates or opponents to remember you?
I would want those guys to just honestly to be able to say that they would be willing to walk down the alley side by side with me in the dark.
Yeah.
100%. To let them know that, you know, I have a guy's back anytime. You know, it's like going to war with somebody. It's like your brother, and we'll be down together for life, man. Like we've went through wars together, and we fought. We put blood and sweat in this thing, so I'll be able to walk down alley with you at any point in the moment, down the dark, doesn't matter where it's at, what city, what country. If I got you with me, then I know I got a chance.
There you go. Well, hey, man, I love you to death. Thank you for taking some time this off season to come holler at the young aspiring football players. Thanks for coming in the locker room.
All right, man. Love y'all too, man. Tell the family I say hello.
Will do. You do the same.
All right.
All right, you guys, so there it is, Mr. Khalid Barnes. This is somebody that is a dear friend of mine, dear friend of the program and what we do with Before You Go Pro and young athletes. He's a part of the network, you guys. So these are people that want to see you have success in your career. Some of the things that he talked about, you know, a coach, whether it's a college coach or an NFL coach, they're the same as a CEO. They're multimillionaires. They don't have time to play. This is a business. You are an investment, and they want to make wise investments. So you guys keep that in mind as you go about your journey. He said start immediately with your inner circle. Those are the people that are close to you. Just because somebody's a family member does not mean that they are right for you and what you're trying to accomplish. So you guys got to evaluate that. Get your parents, get somebody else that can help you evaluate the type of people you have in your life. And then last but not least, he put it on the table with greats like future Hall of Famer Drew Brees or perennial Pro Bowler David Carr, who may eventually be a Hall of Famer. They put in the work. They put in the work we don't see. When we're asleep, those guys are getting up early. They're staying up late. There is no special formula. Those two guys have great arms, but they're not the most physically gifted people in the world. And neither one of them are 6'6", 6'5", but they're big-time quarterbacks. They're leaders of men because they put in the work. And as you guys climb the ladder of football success, all the talking goes out the door. It's all about who produces and who puts in the work. Those are the people who get the respect. So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. I know you did. If you guys didn't get to hear our last show, last Thursday, we had Mr. Kevin Maurice on, Coach Maurice. He is the coach, running backs coach at North Dakota University, Division I AA, doing great work up there. He's got a two-time All-American running back and just really, really producing some great kids up there at North Dakota. Hopefully you guys might have a chance to get a scholarship from the University of North Dakota. So if you guys didn't get a chance to hear that show, you can go to our website at www.beforeyougopro.com on the homepage. On the top right-hand side, there's a little microphone with all of our other social networking links. That microphone will direct you to the archives of the BYGP Locker Room Show. We've had Super Bowl winners. We've had Pro Bowlers, coaches, business professionals, psychologists, a whole gamut, you guys, of people geared towards giving you guys great tips and advice so you can take it to the next level. So once again, hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. Please tell all your friends. Share the content. It is free, but it is priceless. So I am Coach Terrence Woods. I'm off of Before You Go Pro and the rest of the Before You Go Pro team. We will definitely see you at the top. Have a good one.